Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, it's been a great day already. Amen. Have you experienced the presence of God? I have. And the Lord is good to this boy. He really is. Is he good to you? Tell somebody that he's good to you. He's good to you. I'm going to pray just for a moment for the safety of our children coming back, our youth coming back from their retreat, and for their safety and all. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity that our kids had to go on a retreat together and experience life, experience outdoors, experience one another, but most of all, experience you. So we ask you, God, that this would be a lasting work that would continue to happen in their lives. And they would grow, continue to grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Keep them safe on their travel and get them here safely in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We really appreciate Austin and the leadership team of the youth to make plans to get the kids away from this and all the other stuff that they're distracted by. And spend some quality time with them for a few days, and we really do appreciate that. I'm going to be speaking. Let me tell you this to begin with. I've been going through the fruit of the Spirit one by one, as y'all well know. And Mary contacted me, and she said, I really enjoyed the message on gentleness. Stepped on my toes a little bit, but I really enjoy. Let me know when self-control's coming, because I'm going to another church that Sunday. She walked in, and I said, "Chicken." Yeah. She said, "No, I figured I needed to hear that too." So, I'm really wanting to give you something today that I believe will help all of us understand self-control a lot better from a biblical point of view, because it is a fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians 5:22-23, that these are the things that God gives us, and it's his nature and his character that he gives us. And it is the ability to, self-control is the ability to control your thoughts, your emotions, your words, your actions to God's pleasing. It's just not to control them, it's self-control to the place of pleasing God. You may say, "Well, Pastor, I thought you said he was already pleased with us." He is. "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." He's well pleased with who you are because you're in him and he's in you. But we can also be pleasing to him with our behavior. And sometimes this thing about self-control gets... we lose control, and then we let other things start to control us. Stress is something that can impact our ability to have self-control. Being real tired. And I just learned this recently. Is hangry. I heard that word, and I said, "What?" And I said, "Hangry." I said, "I've never heard that word. What does that mean?" "It means you're so hungry, you're angry." How many of you have ever heard that word? Man, I'm way behind. I mean, it's like, you know, I have to hang around younger people to know the verbiage of today. And they said, Have you ever been hangry? And I said, "No." "You've never been so hungry you was angry?" And I said, "No." "Well, you're abnormal." Yeah. Yeah, probably. But anyway, being hungry sometimes will get you to lose control, and then you start eating everything in the house, including the house. But some people, it's not that. Some people just never, ever been able to have the ability to control their emotions and their impulses. So that's the loss of self-control. It leads us to harmful behaviors, the lack of self-control, like substance abuse, overeating, outbursts, irrational behavior, compulsive actions, and even violence. It'll damage personal relationships. It'll destroy marriages. And it'll hinder your career advancement if you have a job. Yeah. I worked when I was barely 20, I think. And might have been 19, but anyway. I had a job, and I was working with this guy, and was working in the electrical field and everything, and he became angry. And he drove into the shop. He said, "You sit in the truck." And I was a helper. You know, he said, "You sit in the truck." And I said, "Okay." And he stayed about 20 minutes and came back out and got in the truck. And I said, "We're going back to work?" He said, "No, I quit." I said, "You quit?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what am I going to do?" He said, "I quit for you too." I said, "You quit for me?" He said, "If I'm not going to work here, you're not going to work here." And I said, I need a job. You know? And he said, "Well, I quit this one for you. You can find you another one." You know? And as we start backing out, and then the guy comes running out of the office and everything, and he gets out and goes and meets with him. 10 minutes later, he comes back, gets in the car, gets in the truck, and says, "I got you another job." I said, "Where?" He said, "Right here, same one I quit for you." So I quit and was hired just within 30 minutes. It was just, but anyway, it will hurt your advancement. It'll hurt everything without self-control. It will begin to undermine everything in your life. You agree? Listen to what God says about it. Proverbs 25:28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Well, what does that mean? It means somebody has breached the city, broken into the city, ransacked it, and actually tore the walls down. So actually that person, he said, a man without self-control has no boundaries. No boundaries. Nothing pushes him back. He just does what he wants. And it also leads you to a place of being vulnerable to the enemy. Without having self-control, you make yourself an open target for the enemy. Because all he's got to do is massage the circumstances or the situation just a little bit, and you'll lose control. Does that make sense? Proverbs 29:11 said, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, spirit represents the soul. He said, it is a fool who gives full vent to his anger. Just let it out. Just let her rip. He said, it's a fool that does that. He said, but a wise man quietly holds it back. We need wisdom, don't we? Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no prophetic, when there's no prophetic vision, people will cast off restraint. They'll run wild. They'll just do whatever they want because there's no self-control. What that really means is where there's no word from God in your life, when there's no word from God, you'll start doing whatever you want. And that's not self-control. The Bible also says in that verse, in another version, it says, a nation not guided by God, the people will lose self-control. A nation not following God will lose self. Do you see that in our nation? I do. I mean, we'll just burn buildings down. We'll just do whatever we want to do and say, hey, if you don't agree with us, we'll attack you. So that's without self-control. He said, but everybody who obeys what the Lord is saying and hears the word from God and obeys, he said, they will turn out to be happy. You want to be happy? Get some self-control. We'll get to the meat of the thing in a minute. But he said, but a people not guided by God, those people will just do whatever they want to do. Ecclesiastes 7 9 says, be quick, be not quick in your spirit to become angry. Do not be quick in your spirit to become angry, because anger lodges in the heart. It begins to live. If you're quick to become angry, that means anger is lodging in your heart. In other words, all it takes is a little bump. All it takes is a something, and all of a sudden, boom, it comes out. That's what's in your heart is going to eventually come out. Proverbs 16:32 says this, patience is better than strength. Controlling your temper is better than capturing a whole city. Imagine that. Imagine what God is saying here. Having patience and having self-control is better than you capturing an entire city with all the spoils that you can get. Everything, you captured it, and now it belongs to you. All of that is nothing compared to having self-control. He said it's better to have self-control than it is for you to conquer a city. That's the value that God puts on it. Well, why do we not do so good? Why is it that I'm not excelling in this thing called self-control? Because one reason that I do believe is because we have a wrong view of self-control in the Bible. We have a wrong view of it. I think we have this view that self-control is a heavy obligation that I have to come up with. That's not true. But that's because it says self-control. We feel like, and we make this thing up, says, well, you know, I've got to do this. How many of you have ever tried not to lose control? How many of you were very successful every time you did that? You know, my hand wasn't up either. It really wasn't. You know, but see, that is a false belief system, and that is the wrong view of self-control. It's the same thing. God tells you to love everybody. How does he tell you to love people? Unconditionally. See if you can come up with that on your own. Nope. Gentle, all of them. See if you can come up with any of that on your own. It won't work. Why? Because it takes God to love God like he deserves to be loved, and it takes God for you to love others the way they deserve to be loved. Now, it takes God for you to have self-control. It's not one of those things that, okay, I'm under this obligation, I'm under this heavy burden to govern myself. Nope, that's the wrong look. That's the wrong way to look at this. And the more we look at that, the more we will fail when we come to having self-control. So sometimes we think self-control is a discipline. And as long as we think self-control is a discipline, you will not have it, you will not see it as a fruit that is delightful. Are you getting this? See, we've walked through this thing, and we've walked through the spirit. We walked through this thing about self control. Because it says self, we've got to come up with it. Mm-mm. You didn't come up with love. You didn't come up with gentleness. You didn't come up with joy. We didn't come up with any of that. That's all the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, I invite you to use it. This is yours. And so is self-control. So we can't have this thing, you know, that, okay, I'm under legalism when it comes to self-control instead of grace. I have grace for all the others, but I don't have grace for self-control. Yes, you do. It's not a legalistic matter. As long as it stays a legalistic thing that you got to come up with it yourself, then you'll always fail at it. From time to time, you may succeed at it occasionally, but you won't have a lifestyle of it. Hello? Is everybody? I know I've been told several times. He said, listen, when we get quiet, we're listening. You know, so I said, okay, I get it. You know, so we have this thing that we really need to learn how to delight in self-control and not make it a discipline. Well, how are we going to get there? I'll tell you how we're going to get there. We're going to follow Jesus. Jesus said this, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. Over in John 4, 31 through 34, the disciples had gone to get something to eat. He was talking to this woman at the well, and the disciples went to get something to eat, and they came back with food, and he said, here, Rabbi, eat. And he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. Amen. And they're wondering, who gave him food while we were gone? Now, that's how dull we can get, right? Have you ever been dull in thinking things about God? I said that's the dullest thing I've ever thought of about God. That's dull. It's like, duh. And he goes on and says, Jesus said to them, because he's thinking about who brought him food. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. That's my food. It's to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work. You see where Jesus is coming from? See, when we come to the place that we desire doing his will more than we desire food, we've come to the place of understanding the joy that Jesus knew. When we get to the place that we desire his will more than we desire anything else, more than we desire food and drink, we'll come to the place to experience the Father's will like Jesus did. John 8, 28, 29 says, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. So what is God doing with you today? He's teaching you. We're speaking things that God is saying scripturally for us to be able to be taught by the Father in order to be able to do his will when it comes to self-control. Instead of us trying to, I ain't going to do it. And then you do it anyway. See, you begin to see that he was taught by the Father. See, this thing, that's the reason we say that we believe that revelational teaching that has revelation in it, and relational learning relate with him and with each other, and not, he's just not well, but it's a relationship, will bring about a transformed living. Relational or revelational teaching that has revelation, not just facts, but has revelation in it, and relational learning will bring about transformational living. Do you want to live a transformed life? That's how you do it. And that's the fundamental pieces of where we are in this house. You can get knowledge anywhere. at a lot of different places. But if you don't have the revelation of that knowledge, then it stays just knowledge, and a lot of times it'll puff you up just because you know something. That's what the Bible says. Knowledge puffs up. Revelation makes you free. It doesn't puff you up. It makes you free. So here's Jesus saying, you know, I always do, he said, I do nothing on my own initiative. I speak these things as the Father has taught me. He said, I do what the Father says. What he says, I say. And what I see him do, I do. I always do the things that are pleasing. Watch this. That are pleasing to. This is Jesus says, I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father. So what was Jesus' heart? To please the Father. Do the Father's will and to please the Father. That was his heart of joy to be able to do that. And that's a joy for us. So here's a little secret. It's a joy for us when all of a sudden the situation lands in front of us or lands right near us or lands in us, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden we have a decision to make. And we either going to be controlled by what Jesus says and Jesus does and be joyful about it, or we're going to struggle fighting it on our own will. See, self-control is not you being controlled by your circumstances. That's circumstantial control. Our situations, that's a situation controlling. It's not self-control. When you're controlled by your circumstances, that's not self-control. Well, what was Jesus happy about it? He said, John 12:14 says, I do not speak on my own initiative, but my Father himself gives me what to say, tells me what to say and what to speak. I don't take my own initiative to do this. I listen. Have you ever spoke before you listened? Wave at me. Huh. And many of you got that toothpaste back in the tube. All of a sudden, oops. Well, it's out for everybody to see now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everybody sees it, everybody smells it, and a few people taste it and say, Then John 15 says, here's the kicker. John 15 says, these things I have spoken to you. Now, what things did he speak to us? What things did he speak to us? What the Father told him to speak. He only says what the Father speaks. So these things he spoke to us because the Father spoke to him to speak it. These things I have spoken to you, why? That my joy may be in you. The joy that he has in practicing the Father's self-control and not just doing anything on his own initiative, that was a joy to him because it pleased the Father. It wasn't a heavy obligation that he had to fight to do. You see the difference? Every time we try to fight to do it ourselves, we always get in trouble. We always get in trouble. He said, the things I've spoken to you, I'm speaking because I want my joy to be in you. The same joy that I have about pleasing the Father, I want it to be in you. And then he says this, so that your joy may be made full. So that your joy, as we learn to have self-control, pause for, see, you know, self-control is like a pause button. The Staples had a little red button. You remember that? Y'all remember that? I got one in my office. I really do. And you hit it and it says, that was easy. That was easy. I needed to hear that every once in a while. So I got me a button. I'll go through something difficult and then I'll hit the button and said, that was easy. And the only reason it's easy is because you yoke with the Father. You yoke with Jesus. He said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Second Timothy says this, 1:7 says, God has not given you the spirit of fear. The situation comes, and attached with that situation, the enemy puts fear, doubt, and everything else in it. That God did not give you the spirit of fear. That he gave you power, love, and a sound mind. Do you happen to know what a sound mind means? Take a wild guess. Self-control. But God has given you not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, of power, love, and self-control. That's given to us by God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And then he also says, don't pay any attention to the fear that comes with situations. Because in that situation, I've given you power, I've given you love, and I've given you self-control. So that we can experience the joy of Jesus by having the opportunity to practice it. Do you look at opportunities to practice self-control as a delight? You haven't before. It annoyed you. I know. It'll annoy you. And then here I've got to say, but it needs to be a delight to be able to practice any fruit of the Spirit, including self-control. It should be a delight to all of us. Self-control says, I get to do this with God because he dearly loves me. I get to say what he's saying because he dearly loves me. I don't know what they're going to do with it after I say it, but he dearly loves me. I'm not going to be controlled by circumstances. I'm not going to be controlled by my own desire. But I'm going to have self-control because he's given that to me in this very situation. And it's not a burden. It's not a legalistic thing that it's heavy on me to do. No, it's a delight for us to practice, to have the opportunity to practice self-control. See, when we partner with self-control that God's given us, it raises our expectations in God and what he's about to do next. What is he about to do next? And when that expectation of God doing something in our lives and we're following him in self-control, it's almost like Tim, come here a second. It's almost like this. Come on up here. It's almost like that. This thing about he's wanting to get upset about something. Something's happened. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. And I want you to turn that way. Turn around that way. And they're doing all kind of things. And he feels the thing about he's losing control because he doesn't like something that's going on. Doesn't like what they said or whatever. But this thing about when his expectation is in God for his self-control, it's almost like the Holy Spirit comes up and just grabs hold of him and whispers to him and says, shh, be still. Calm down. Be still and know that I am God. Because his expectation is in his Father, not in him. Thank you, brother. So that thing, because he's always working when you don't believe he's working. When you don't see him working, he's still at work. He wants to get us to the place that we always expect him to be who and what we need in every situation of our life. See, it's difficult to practice and operate in self-control when you're full of fear or doubt. Because we start looking for ways out. We start looking to how we can fix it. I remember fixing Scott's, he had a motocross bike, racing bike, a KX80 Kawasaki something, you know, and I never owned a motorcycle in my life. But let's work on one. But I've worked on a lot of things that I didn't know what I was doing. I've always had that thing about, hey, man put it together, man can fix it. Well, I'm a man. That don't always work. Anyway, it wasn't operating right, and he said it needs a, I called a Kawasaki guy, and he said it needs a carburetor and all that kind of stuff, so I went and got a carburetor, and I put it together, and started that thing up, and it started it up. Had the clutch pulled in, and you know the rest of the story. I let go of the clutch, and that motorcycle went vroom, you know, went up. It's spinning dirt and everything up, and it went up, and about, I don't know, about 4 feet or something like that. And then when it fell and landed, the kickstand stopped up in the ground. And the back tire was hitting, and that motorcycle was going, whoom, 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 whoom. It was throwing dirt that far. I mean, it was kicking up dirt that far. And I'm like, whoa. Scott said, Daddy, you're tearing my motorcycle up. Not really, son. We need water, and I'm starting digging here. So Brenda said, what are you doing? I said, get me a broom. So she brings a broom out, and I'm trying to my best to hit that kill switch. And I mean, it was like the motorcycle grabbed the broom, and it slung the broom about 20 feet, and I had to go back and get it. And I'm like, Brenda said, how much gas is in it? And I said, I just filled it up. So I started throwing everything I had at it. And then God somehow stopped that motorcycle. I said, thank you, Lord. I mean, I dug a ring about almost a foot, you know. But see, sometimes you just need a pause button. Pause. Do you know anything about this? No. Do you think you need to know something about this? Yes. Then I don't think I'd be doing that. Okay. Brent said, what are you going to do now? And I said, what I should have done to begin with. I'm hauling it down to the Kawasaki place and they can fix it. And I said, I am going to order a ton of dirt to fill this thing in. It's a, anyway. Sometimes you need that pause button. And that pause button gives us space to think. Space to refocus. Space to be able to make a decision that is more sound, more wise. Space to do things. Why? That's what we need to do. That's what it's a pause button. Are y'all with me? Now, I know y'all had never worked on some of you guys may have, but have never had that experience. But have you ever worked on something that just didn't work out? Okay, I'm by myself. It's okay. I, I really understand. But see, doubt, when we start doubting God's ability to do things, it hurts our view of who He is for us. Doubt is really bad for us. It really is. It's actually putting faith in the negative. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. Which way? All your ways, acknowledge Him. See that, in all your ways, pause. Find out what He's, you know, sometimes the best thing, you know, you heard this, said, put your best foot forward. You know, and that's a good saying. But sometimes it don't work. I put my best foot forward on a Kawasaki carburetor. Sometimes the best step that we can take is a step back in order to say, God, what do you say about this? That's the pause. That's the ability to have self-control because I want to say, I want to do what He wants me to do. See, it was pride that got me in that trouble. And we know about pride. What's the next thing? A fall. You can't cut the motorcycle off. You know, pride goeth before a fall. So he says, trust in, not your own ability. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and lean not into what you understand, to your own understanding. I got this. Have you ever said that? You ever said, I got this, and you didn't have it? Wave at me. This is the right place. I thought this church needed to hear this today. I got this until we realize it has us more than we have it. James 1 says this, this you know, my brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The Passion Version says this, my dearest brothers and sisters, take this to your heart. Be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. For without self-control, or with self-control, or no self-control, you never have a legitimate tool to promote God's righteousness to His people. Gives us time to self-control, gives us time to gather, to think, to rejoice, to refocus, to realign, and to renew our thoughts in order for us to be transformed like Him. It's just self-control. It's just what He wants us to do. He wants us to be a transformed people. So instead of aligning yourselves with your own knowledge of the circumstance and start doing things without asking Him first, that's when we get in trouble. You know, David went to the Lord several times. He went to inquire of the Lord on what do I need to do about this? Should I pursue the enemy or not? And then the Lord told him, said, pursue the enemy. Go take it. Go get it back. But there's times when He says, no, don't do it. You know, the Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace and all, you know, they said, want you to bow down. No, we ain't bowing. Nope, we're not going to bow. Well, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. We're going to heat it up more than you've ever realized. So we're going to give you another opportunity. Listen to this. We're going to give you another opportunity to choose. You know what they said? We don't want it. We done made our mind up. God's our God, and whatever he allows is fine with us. You hear what I'm saying? They've made their mind up. They're going to do it God's way regardless. Because God is our God. We don't need another chance to choose. Do you hear that? We don't need another opportunity to think about it. We've already thought about it. We're going to do it God's way. He's our God no matter what. No matter how it turns out, he is our God. He'll always be our God. So you see it all in the scriptures. You see how self-control is good and how not having it is not so good. But see, when we embrace self-control as a pause button, we'll be able to hear more about what he's telling us for this very moment, who he wants to be for us, and what he wants us to present to people in that very moment. You and I get an opportunity to practice self-control, what he's saying, what he's doing, and we get to present that to whomever's listening. We get to practice his nature and reveal who he is to other people. Because he is the one that gives us self-control as a fruit and a character of who he is. It's not a bondage. It's not a burden. It's a delight. It was the joy of Jesus to be able to practice that and say what the Father's saying, do what the Father's doing, and it became his joy. And he said, I want you to experience the same joy. And I want that joy in you to be full. That's the way of God. That's him. That's how he does things. There's a passage, and I'm going to close with this. Psalm, listen to this. What's in it for me? You're going to be like Jesus. Psalm 27 says this, for in the day of trouble, he will conceal you in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide you. He will lift you up upon a rock. And your head will be lifted up above all the enemies that are around you. When he requires you to stand silent and not say anything, not do anything, that's where he puts you. Because there was a time when he spoke not a word. That's making all kind of accusations to him, but he spoke not a word. And he had plenty to say, but he didn't have anything to say except what the Father was saying. Because he did not choose his own initiative to try to defend himself. He only said what the Father said. He only did what the Father did. Self-control is a very delightful thing. We got to move away from this legalistic burden, this obligation that we feel like we're under, to come up with it ourselves. It's a fruit that is of his nature that he says, this is yours. I want you to delight in it. Y'all get it? Big difference than what we used to think self-control. I've got to come up with it myself. No. You just got to enter into his self-control that he's given you. Amen? I don't have a big bang, so... I remember I was teaching Sunday school, Free Will Baptist, a long, 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 long time ago, and I was Digging out in the backyard. Wished I had that Kawasaki at that time, but didn't. But anyway, I was digging. I ran into this big rock and all this kind of, and I digging, hit the rock. You know, there wasn't no honey in that rock. But anyway, I wasn't too good at self-control at that time in my life. And I got frustrated, aggravated, stressful, irritated, and angry. You put all that together, all that started coming out because that's what was inside. Not knowing that my wife is out there on the deck, and she says, "If your Sunday school class could only see you now." I love this woman. I really do. She'll hit you boom, right between the eyes. You know, that's, I'm just being real. You know, that's been, I mean, that was yesterday, wasn't it? I mean, no, that's been years. I was in my 20s. But anyway, the delightfulness of being put in situations that want to control you, and he gives you the opportunity to show forth his self-control in you that causes others to pause and wonder. What do they have that I don't? Let's stand. If you don't know this God that we've been talking about, who has the free gifts and fruit for us, if you don't know him and you don't really have him in your life, today's the best day that you could ever choose to accept him. Today's the best day that you could ever say, I want to know him. I want him in my life. If there's anybody here that has that heart, that has that decision you want to make today, okay, we're all good. All right. Now, what are you going to be expecting when you go out these doors?
I expect to be put in a situation that I'm going to have self-control.
Yes. Yes, you will. Because when you learn something, he will test you to see how much you got let inside you. It's just an opportunity to show off Jesus. Amen. It's just another opportunity to show who he is and his power in all of us. Amen. Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your fruit. And Father, we know that sure, the word will test us. But Lord, you also told us that our faith is tested. So our faith in you being our self-control will be tested. And we will shine like new money with your glory because we've accepted the invitation to have your self-control as ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless y'all. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.